This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
This morning has actually started to do is that it's actually awakening our hearts. We have a choice, all of us. As God, who knows that even in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to just flick some lights on because we don't need, hey, there's light. Thanks, Dave, you're always saving me. Who knows, when God created the Garden of Eden, it wasn't with the absence of choice, because we don't have a God that is a dictator. He wants us to want Him just as much as He wants us. So He placed in the Garden of Eden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Because with the absence of choice, there is no intimacy. I think someone yelled out before, we want to get rid of control. Yeah, absolutely. Because actually, when we step into a place of control, it actually is that we don't trust what's going on. We don't trust God with the solution. We don't trust other people with the solution, so we control them. Think about any time in marriage. If we step into over the line into a place of control, we're not loving him. I'm not loving Michelle. She's not loving me if we're trying to control the other person. In a world where there is a narcissistic spirit that is all about me, usually when control pops its head up, it's usually because this is uncomfortable for me, so I've got to control the situation. Got three questions that I want to ask. If I can go to the PowerPoint there, Dave, I've thrown you in the deep end. As usual, you're doing an awesome job. There's PowerPoint one. There we go. Intimacy. All week, and I couldn't find an image of it. What I actually wanted to find is the image of a chambers of a heart and a torch being shone up and exposing the spider webs up in the corner. Because that's the image that I got all week. Are we willing to allow ourselves to be seen at that level of vulnerability that we want to bring the spotlight of the kingdom of God to reveal everything? Are you anything like me? And if you hear that comment and go, does that scare the living daylights out of you? Does it? You can talk to me. We're participating. Yeah. Yeah. It does. Because no one wants to get those parts of their heart exposed, because it'll mean I've got to change something. And two, what happens if someone punishes me because I've been caught out? Who here loved going to the principal's office? Did anyone go, the principal's calling, you beauty, it's going to be something awesome. Or did you feel that way? No? To have a deeply intimate connection with somebody. Come on, we're participating today. I don't want it to be all about me. What does it feel like? Yep, you surrender yourself to that person. Yep. Makes you vulnerable. Yeah. Fulfillment. Yeah. It's good. Comfortable. Safe. It's beautiful. Yeah. Warm. Yeah. secure. It's good. It's good. And there's so much more. When we are deeply intimate with someone and there's a connection that is not just at a head level, but I'm here and I'm seen. And it's not just for the thing of marriage. I've got a really good mate of mine. His mate Scotty, is my mate Scotty, and those things. And we've walked a long journey together. And when we're together, I don't have to perform. I'm just me. He's just him. He's challenged me many times. But because I know his heart is for me, I feel safe. He's an extraordinary friend. All right, next one. What is it like to experience disconnection? Give me words. Alone. Rejection. Hurts. Betrayed. Broken. Painful. Abandoned. Isn't it interesting that when I'm asking the question, what does it feel like for the intimate connection? It took us a while to get going. But as soon as you go, what does it feel like to have broken relationships? Boom, words are flying. And we could keep going, we could keep going. We could fill 15 boards up with what it feels like. God has shown me this morning that I need to apologize to you as a church. Towards the end of last year, there were a number of messages. Although the words that were put on my heart, I believe, were from God, I didn't deliver them well. I allowed my human frustrations and my own stuff to collide with the message, and it came out in a way, looking back at it, that I actually destroyed a connection. For that, I am sorry. I am incredibly grateful for Deb and for Trev. They may not even realize, but you probably do, that you were brave enough to enter and come into my world and say, Jace, I think you're leaking. And it's taken me a while to go on that process to be able to stand before you and say this today. It's not my heart, but my stuff manifested. And I needed to go into the counseling office, and I needed to go on a journey to allow God to show me why and where it was coming from, so that I don't do that again. I can't sit here and promise that my stuff won't ever leak, because it will, because I'm a broken human just like you. But I never want to be someone who is managing a disconnection with people. Because so often in life, we are going through, there is myriads, hundreds, and dare I say it, possibly even some marriages in this house today, where you are managing the disconnection. You know you can go to this line, but if I step over that line, I'm about to walk into a whole world of hurt, so I just stay behind that line. That is not God's best for you and your marriage. It is not God's best for his relationship between us as his body and as the bride of Christ. Because where I am managing disconnection, I am more interested, I'm in a self-protective mode of my own heart, not in a place of security and Father's love and choosing to love no matter what. Danny Silk says it in this book, Keep Your Love On. Oh, golly, how am I going to get all this out? Anyway. He says, you cannot control other people. The only person you can control on a good day is yourself. And then there's a whole heap of stuff in here. I'd love to be able to read this whole passage out. You see, all right, I'm just going to read this. As I said, God's love is not a controlling love. Many people find this difficult to believe. If you are raised with a powerless, fear-driven mindset based on the belief that you can control people and they can control you, then you will naturally perceive God as a controlling punisher. You will take the laws of the Old Testament, all the verses and stories about wrath and judgment and fear of the Lord, and conclude, see, God wants to control us. And we need to be controlled. Our hearts are desperately wicked and we can't be trusted, so God uses the threat of punishment to maintain the distance between us and Him. The problem is that the Bible doesn't show us a God who is pursuing the goal of distance between Himself and a bunch of scary sinners. Instead, the Bible reveals a God who is relentlessly closing and distancing and paying the ultimate price to repair the disconnection we have created in relationship. Isn't that an amazing picture that the God of the universe is so in love with you that He will push through every bit of disconnection to get to your heart? God's number one goal with us is connection. And nothing, neither pain nor death, will prevent Him from moving toward us and responding to us in love. His perfect love for us is absolutely fearless. He is not afraid of us, and He never will be. His gospel message is, I love you no matter what. I'm not afraid of your mistakes, and you don't have to be afraid of them either. There have been many painful things in this life, but pain and the fear of pain no longer have power to control you. You are always free to choose. So what are you going to do? Remember that I am always here for you, whatever you choose. God is continually moving towards you, towards us, in love, and giving you the choice to love Him. He never takes your choice away. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The more God fills your life, the more freedom you will have. The problem, and I've said this before, the church has become so far more sin conscious than it has been love conscious. So we manage people's sin. We excommunicate people. We judge them. We banish them. We send them off. If a leader fails, how many times has a leader failed and you've seen a reconciliation of the leader? Very rarely. Most times when a leader fails, it's you should have known better. Poof! As far as you possibly can. Someone said to me up at the men's conference recently, the church preaches grace but practices performance and management and control. He said, it's why I can't do church anymore. And my heart broke. Because God's church shouldn't be like that. We're meant to be ministers of reconciliation, not... And so our view and our understanding of God will do. Are we pursuing connection or disconnection? It's really the only two choices. If we're pursuing connection, I will do anything to be connected with my wife and my children. When there's a disconnect, I want to fix it. And sometimes I try to fix it too hard in my strength and it causes more disconnection. So there's a lesson in that even. I actually have to go to God. What is it going on in my heart that is causing this disconnection? Can I get that healed here? And then when my experience is, when I get that healed here, it outworks here. There's a little clip I've got there, David. Can you just play it? I'll just hold on one second. I'll just premise it. Can you just hit pause for one sec? This is a clip out of Fireproof, the movie. Who's seen it? Who saw Fireproof many years ago? Okay. For those of you who haven't seen it, the premise of the movie is couple in trouble. Marriage about to go kabloom. Instead of separating completely, they went and lived in separate rooms in the house, those things. Kirk Cameron's the actor. He basically gets to the point and goes, I'm done. I'm out. I can't love this woman that God's given me. At that point, he probably didn't even want to do anything with God anyway. His dad gave him a challenge to do a 40-day thing of just pursuing the heart of God. It was a love dare, 40-day love dare. If you go to Koorong, you probably still get it. The journey is of this man who went from broken, hurting, controlling, all sorts of manifestations coming and colliding in their home, to a man who fell in love with Jesus and allowed Jesus to transform his heart. And the result is this. Can we play it, please? Can we just throw the lights off so you can, everyone can see it, please? Because I know you can do everything. Look at him go.
Catherine?
If I haven't told you that you are a good man, you are. And if I haven't told you that I've forgiven you, I have. Told you that I love you. I do. Something has changed in you, Caleb. And I want what happened to you to happen to me.
It can.
Is it too late? Ask you to grow old with me.
I understand it's a movie. But I can tell you I am a walking testimony of going on a journey where I have been confronted with this message, am I going to pursue connection or am I going to pursue the disconnection? Did it transform everything in a moment? No, because I had to unlearn a whole heap of stuff. Who knows that actually in the kingdom, the hardest thing for us Christians to do is unlearn the religious stuff that we've been taught. And if you don't know that that's hard, it's about to. Because to unlearn the things that we've been taught and the things that have been practiced to us is actually heart-wrenching. Because the things that we perceive to be true so often get exposed to be a lie. That's the problem with perceived truth. It's not always true. It's just perception. It's just our internal belief system. And if you've been a Christian for any more than 5 minutes, there is religious programming and religious stuff that's actually caught you that needs to be unlearned so that we can be free to live a beautiful, pure, intimate connection with the Father. I think the fourth slide on number one, just before the video, Dave. There it is, yeah. Beautiful. I want you to take this question home with you today. And maybe I should have worded it slightly different. Is this the pursuit of your heart today? To experience the unconditional love of God and allow Him into every part of your life? Are you willing to, like Adam and Eve in the garden, were completely naked and had no shame? Are you allowing yourself to stand before your God and allow Him to expose every area of your heart that needs the touch of love? If you say yes to this, I am not saying it will be an easy journey, but I am saying to you that the journey on the other side will be extraordinary. And Jesus will meet you in the midst of every messy situation. One of the things I took many takeaways from being up at the John Eldridge conference, but one of the things he said is that if you embrace messy, you will experience kingdom. If you want all your things to be ordered and neat with a nice white picket fence out the front and so that it looks all pretty, you will shut down the kingdom. As it says in Proverbs, if you're going to have ox in the stall, it's going to be poop. Can we go to the next lot of slides, the first slide here? And there is more, and you can go and read through 1 John, but I'm just going to finish with this today. I found this version of Psalm 139 this week, because Psalm 139 has this part that says, "Search me, O God, and know me." This is David, King David, who stood on the rooftop one day when he should have been at battle, saw a pretty girl, went, "I'm going to have her," had his way, got her husband killed, had a baby, that baby died, and God convicted him of his sin. We're not talking about he murdered someone, he committed adultery, he did all of these things. He passively sat by and went, "I'm going to send everyone out the war while I just sit back and drink me wine and look out for people across there. Oh, look, there's a pretty girl. I'll have her." Because he'd given up his responsibilities. If you don't understand the message of grace through Scripture, do you realize that the second child born to him and Bathsheba was Solomon? And he became the next king, not the firstborn of David's children. Isn't that a picture of grace? This man who blew it in every possible way was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Not because he lived things perfectly, not because he had all his ducks in a row, because he certainly didn't. But he had this position. Whenever he sinned, it was Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. I've done it again. I've blown it. But I know your love is so great and your love, is there a chance?" And then he writes, I don't know how much further along, I don't know what the timeline of these psalms were compared to his sin with Bathsheba, but in Psalm 139, and the Voice Bible says it this way, and I melted when I read this. "Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. Examine me to see if there is an evil bone in me and guide me down your path forever." Brothers and sisters, you imagine if every single one of us had that position before our God. How different our lives would be. The line from I Am Your Beloved, the one who knows me best, loves me the most. If we step out beyond our shame, our guilt, our condemnation, our self-hatred, all of the stuff that comes up, our feeling of unworthiness, our brokenness, the hurts that other people have placed in our lives, the hurts that I have inflicted on others that I feel guilty and shameful about, the list goes on and on and on and on. Because if you've been a human for more than 6 months on the planet, the first 6 months are pretty good. You just sit there and hold mum. But then if mum's not in a real good place, that inflicts wounds on the child. Sorry, does. But God wants to come into all those places too and can bring healing and wholeness. Are we willing to stand before God explore me, O God. Everything. Will you reveal everything in my life that is not authentic, that is not real, that is me hiding behind stuff, whether it be brokenness or good things? Are you willing to go dig deeply, shine your spotlight up into those little corners that even I have forgotten or I don't know about, or my human brain has actually protected me from because of how traumatic it was? Please, if there's things like that, don't do it alone. Do it with a counselor and do it with people around you. Just a disclaimer, we're not meant to do all this alone. Dig deeply and discover who I really am. Are you willing to allow the Spirit to dig deeply and show you who you really are in His sight, and then stop clothing yourself in all the poses, posing stuff, and just be you? Put me to the test. That's a challenging word to say, isn't it? Say to God, I want you to test me. I want you to try me. I want this to actually take root in my life. That's what He's saying. I don't want this just to be words. And then watch how I handle the strain. In other words, He's saying, I want you to go to the spiritual gym and I want you to do the work, but then I want to learn the character and the strength to be able to live it out. Examine me to see if there is any evil bone in me. And then guide me down your path forever. Church, if we will go on that journey and pursue connection with the Father, I can guarantee you our church will be different. Your life will be different. Your relationships around you will be different. And if we truly surrender to that process, we may just find that we become the answer to Jesus' prayer, that they will know you are my disciples because of your love for one another. I'm not standing up here because I've got it all sorted out. And any of you who've done life with me more than 5 minutes know that. This is my heart cry. It's my heart cry for my personal life. It's my heart cry for this community. And experience the radical, unconditional love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. that we would be known so that I can know others, and that we would be a church that is pursuing connection over managing disconnection. Father God, I stand before you as a man needing you. And your church needs you. I repent for the times that I've managed disconnection. I repent of the times where I've allowed my brokenness to actually overflow and inflict pain and hurt on your children, on my wife, on my kids, on my church family. Father, will you give us wisdom and revelation of what it means to pursue connection with you? And then may that flow into our most intimate relationships and then out into every other relationship we have. In Jesus' name. I'm not sure how to do a ministry time this morning other than I'm just going to play a song called Jesus, Lover of My Soul, which was done by Dan Hagen and Awakening Music a while back. Maybe this is a personal moment where you need to be praying this prayer. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. So grab someone to pray with you this morning. Maybe for some of you, you're sitting there going, I hear a whole heap of words, but I don't understand. It's like Jason speaking a different language. I feel like that has been something that has happened. And I want that to be broken in the spirit, because that's actually a spiritual thing rather than it being that you will hear the love of the radical love of the Father. He wants to pursue your heart. Maybe there's something that you've been carrying around for a long, long, long time. And it feels like a heavy yoke around your head. Maybe you need to go and walk through the water again and allow him to wash that off you. There's a few communion elements left. Maybe you need to take communion again. If anyone needs them, if we run out, I can go get some more. I don't know. But just do business with God this morning before you go. And if you get done before the rest of us do, have an awesome day. I know we haven't taken up our offerings, so if we can just have the offering bags at the back door there somewhere, and if anyone's brought their offerings, we thank you and just put it in there. And I know there is we've another announcements in that, but one announcement that I do want to encourage all of you to be a part of, if you can. On the first weekend in March, there is a group called The Upper Room doing a worship event at the sanctuary. They just carry a heart for worship that is really extraordinary. It's $20 a ticket. You can go for one session or you can go all day on the Friday night and Saturday. So if you want to go to that event, or can I encourage you just to jump on the Facebook side of the sanctuary, and they've got their tickets there. If you don't have Facebook, let me know and I can sort that out for you. Hey, let's finish there. I hope you guys can accept the apology. It is genuine. It's not just a performance thing from here. But please pursue the heart of the Father. Pursue him. He loves you and he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for being with us this morning. We just give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name.
This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.